Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we want you to call in and be a part of this discussion as we do part two of the Life Partnership Contract. The question we're asking today is, would you allow your spouse multiple partners? We'll talk about that today. Call in 515-605-9325. And give us your opinion.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Grand rising to all who have joined us live on Facebook and are listening in on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show platform. And if you are watching us on YouTube, we appreciate you. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so that you can receive notices every time we're live. And we want you to participate. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, call you can call in and add your voice to the discussion, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. Today is part 2 of last week's discussion on the life partner contract, and we had quite a bit of interest in continuing this discussion because we've presented some ideas that some may have issues with, but we want to be able to address the problem, which is our broken families. And in addressing the problem of our broken families, we really have to take a look at our broken selves. Why are we unable to form lasting, lifelong partnerships and raise our children to adulthood, to a healthy adulthood, in a stable home? What has happened to us? And this is a global problem because we have such a history of conflict between the males and females. So we want to bring in our American Muslim 360 family and give our co-host an opportunity to express some thoughts. And we are certainly pleased to have all of you participate in this discussion. So I'm going to take a quick break.
Listen here. And we'll be right back as we continue this discussion on the life partnership contract, part 2. And the sizzling question this morning is, would you allow your spouse multiple partners? We have our dear sister Maika joining us for this second Saturday of the month and sharing her story, which, of course,
this morning. Assalamu alaikum, Naima Latif.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you so very much. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And, of course, we want our listeners to call in and comment, 515-605-9325. And if you missed it last week, we'll kind of do a real quick review. But we want to deal with that part of the contract that some found maybe even a little frightening. But we're going to talk about why these various things are addressed in this contract, because the overall objective is to build strong families and communities that can raise healthy children who we can give good guidance to and keep safe. Can we do this as a human family? So we'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after this quick message. So
hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and, of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naeem Latif, along with my co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, here to do part two of the discussion on the life partnership contract. And we are joined by our sister from the wonderful farm community of Pembroke, Illinois, and she comes from a wealth of experience. And so every second Saturday, Maika joins us, but today she's bringing experience in that relationship which many women of the West may not understand and might even fear. That
unneeded
of sister wife. And means if you are in a family where the husband has multiple wives, the relationship between the wives is not that of rival or competitor, but you're part of a family, your sisters. And what do sisters do? They support each other. They encourage each other. They all work together in the building of the family and the raising of the children. And we bring that to the forefront because so many women are stuck on the thought of, I don't want to share my man with no other woman and have him having sex with another woman. And we in the human family are stuck on sex as if that's all there is to a relationship, when in fact the purpose of a relationship in a family is to protect the children. And we like to say that, oh, we're better than animals because, you know, they just have sex. No, animals actually are more organized and much more logical in their decisions than we are, because they know that whatever the ratio of male to female is, the biggest decision on how to form a family group is how can they best protect the children. And no, they're not sitting around having sex all day. What they are doing is surviving. They're working together to get food, to find shelter, to keep their children safe, to teach their children what they need to know to survive. And their sexual activity is in a certain season so that their children can be born when the food is abundant. So they're much more civilized, if you will, than people, because we're the ones who are obsessing about sex, and we can't organize our families and protect our children. So I'm going to bring on our dear sister, Maika, and then we're going to talk about not only the sister-wife relationship. Later on, we're going to talk about that other very controversial part of the contract, which gives that option to women. But we'll talk about that later in the show, because that's a whole nother issue. And men got to deal with their emotions about that. So first, let's talk about what is the proper relationship between the sister wives. Thank you so much for joining us, Maika, to bring us this issue and put it on the table.
Well, thank you for inviting me and Grand Rising to you, and Assalamu Alaikum to all the Muslims who are a part of it. It is, we enter this discussion. Yes. We enter this discussion from a perspective of peace and goodwill.
I love it.
So
I want
you to ask me questions and I'll answer those questions for you. Okay.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And, mm-hmm. and Brother Kareem, please let me know if you have a question as well, or if anybody on your switchboard presses one with a question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first question I want to ask, and I know this is something that comes up, you know, in my book, The Female Solution, you know, and first of all, my objective for writing that book was I was distressed by our broken families, which was leading to distressed children and more children dropping out of school, going to jail, and, you know, all of these things, the poverty in our community. So my whole focus was to look at various ways that the animal kingdom dealt with families and raising children, finding mates. And when I got to the chapter on the buffalo and, you know, got to the thing about, you know, finding a strong man and that strong man, that good man, many women might find them attractive, you know, but the whole point of it is to get someone who could be a good father to your children. And a good man may be a good father to several children. So the first question I want to ask you is, a man needs to have, in your opinion, to make him someone who understands the importance of creating a fair environment where each woman feels valued and not in competition with the other wives in a sister wife situation?
The first two qualities that come to my mind are courage and truthfulness.
Mm.
Courage, because there's always going to be people who will be challenging him, especially the women, and, you know, in terms of what he's doing or not doing or should do or could do. And he has to stand firm on who he is and not be swayed based on outside opinions and hassling, because women can be quite hassling to a man in a situation like that. I've seen it, and I've experienced it myself in terms of being that way. Also, he has to be very truthful. He has to, because that becomes the foundation of trust, that the relationship can go forward and that it can build. And that's the quality that the children need to be able to say, that I experienced truthfulness. These people were truthful to me. They're not telling me Santa Claus stories or, you know, Easter bunnies laid eggs stories, but reality is a part of the relationship. So those are the two most important qualities. Of course, everything evolves around principles, the principles of, you know, justice. And he has to be just in terms of, you know, a lot of people deal with fairness, but fairness is not justice. Those are two different qualities. Justice is a quality that comes out of self-knowing. You know, it comes out of, you know, like, doing to others as you would have them do unto you. There you get justice. You get justice from that, because you know what you would and would not want, not just in the situation, but in other words, how do you walk a mile in another person's shoe? What would you want in that situation if you were going through it? So that's important. Yes, ma'am. I hope I answered your question.
Yes. Well, you know, and speaking of walking in another person's shoes and what would you want, you know, the things that need to happen in a family, there are a lot of things, everything from shared responsibilities to, as you say, you know, principles, honesty, justice, passion. And one of the biggest hurdles that women have when we talk about the need to expand our families to include women that may need help with children or with finances or any number of things that having a man in your life allows, a lot of women, they can't see that as something that they would choose to allow. And we will talk about a woman whose children are raggedy or look like they don't have enough to eat or their hair is uncombed because maybe the mother, she doesn't hardly have time, she's working two jobs. We'll talk about her real bad. But if the suggestion is, well, maybe I can let my husband, you know, help her, you know, get her yard together or, you know, pick her children up from school when he's picking up mine, or, you know, give her some money for her bills. You know, I mean, they, oh, no, you don't know. I promise, her problem. So that's a real big hurdle for us to see as something we would allow. So first let me, well, second question I'd like to ask you was, is what made you to decide that you would be willing to enter a sister-wife relationship with other women in a nation that has no cultural examples of that? We know that African culture, and for us, has been long time cut off, and even sometimes the way they practice it is a whole lot of rivalry between the women. So what made you feel that your husband had a structure that would have been fair and just, that you could trust in coming into that relationship?
Well, at the time, I didn't know. I had no idea what was going on. I was just open to learning and open to experiencing life in a different manner than what I saw going on. And we were talking, and we concluded that in terms of relationships, we saw people cheating in terms of there was a back door and a front door. And most relationships, even that were up front, always had a back door relationship where they would sneak and have relationships with other people. And we said, we need to close the back door. We need to bring everybody up front so that, you know, we can develop relationships of honesty and truthfulness. And that was the main reason that I agreed to it, because I that was the nature. My father was cheating on my mother, and I saw uncles cheating on their wives, and, you know, all these backdoor relationships, and they were very toxic and very, very, there was no understanding coming out of it. There was no growth coming from it because there was no truth in it. There was no communication about it. It just happened. And then explosions would take place. So we agreed to close the back door and bring our relationships up front and honor everybody as a vital human being, you know, and we discuss all the issues. The other thing is that all relationships fit within institutions. Mm-hmm. And so you have to establish and understand institutions and what and how relationships form within institutions. Like we had six institutions that we dealt with, basically seven with the self. The self is an institution. And then there's the church or the mosque, the fellowship or whatever, the clinic, the home, the school, and the government. Those were the institutions. So it's like, what relationships, how do you have relationships between males and females in a, say, business setting? Is that a setting where people have sex? Actually, it's not, but they do. Mm-hmm. Church is not an institution where sex is a part of the relationship between males and females. None of the institutions basically were sexual relationships until you get to the home. The home is the relationship in which sexual intercourse and intimacy takes place. However, in this society, because we live in a society that has no boundaries for sex, if everything goes anywhere, that becomes the problem, because there's no context for living. It's just a free-for-all. But that's an inheritance from slavery. So that's how we were working on it, developing institutional relationships with people, not just relationships, and then putting them in the proper context. Because even in modern day, you might find men and women, they're attracted to each other initially, but that attraction goes away, the sexual. I'm not interested in her sex. Maybe they do, and decide this don't work for us. And then they can become friends, or maybe they can work in other ways together. But this drive for sex is so strong in people that it has them doing things that are sometimes abnormal, many times abnormal, and create all kind of perversion and toxicity.
Well, you know, that's a very important point you raise, especially the fact that the things that go on in a family, you know, there's so much more than just the sexual, but that is the context of that relationship. So what we have instead, we have, like you said, a lot of backdoor situations where people are dishonest and a lot of the context of the relationship is not building a family. So this is the thing that I really hope we can grasp. When we talk about expanding our families and expanding our partnerships, again, people are stuck on the sex part, when in fact families involve so much more of organizing, and it's an institution. It's a business. It's a spiritual house. It's all of these things in which you teach your child principles and ethics and values and basics of how to interact with your fellow beings. You teach them responsibility. You teach them skills. All of that goes into a family. So if you have someone whose children are in need of that kind of guidance, and you can help them by expanding your reach as an adult, and that would benefit the community, why are we not able to see that? And it's because we're stuck on, I don't want nobody having sex with my mate. And guidance and teaching principles and, you know, showing how to throw a baseball or showing how to, you know, sweep a floor or, you know, hang a door, none of that has anything to do with sex. So we're stuck on that, realizing that what happens in a family is so much more expansive. So including someone in your family is so much more than sex. And yet that is the barrier for us seeing the importance of inclusion. And last week, of course, we talked about, you know, for those who are of the Islamic faith, there is in the fourth chapter, Al-Nisa, it is an explanation of the relationship that a man is to have with additional wives that he is urged to take in order to help him take care of the orphans, which, you know, there is a large orphan population after a major war. So what do you do to make sure you protect your children? That was a remedy given. And it may always about protecting the children. But now in your experience, what were some of the things in the family in terms of responsibilities that were taught to the children, and were some of your sister wives helpful in even helping rear your children and give them guidance, and were you helpful in their children in giving them guidance? How did that work?
Well, you say family, I say home as the institution. And, of course, a home is where a family develops, okay? Family develops within the institution of home. So within the home, we expand our home to include more women, children, okay? And as a result, and in my case, it was brothers also, because we were a farm community. So, like, I was a home administrator, so I had to take into account the needs of everybody who was a part of our farm community in terms of food, clothing, shelter, you know. So our family extended beyond just the biological nuclear family. And yeah, there is so much more. Like, let's say, we were vegetarians, so, you know, when you get outside of the home, everything is reinforcing the eating of meat, right? So being within that structure and everybody agreeing that we're going to be vegetarians, then there's the support and the reinforcement of that within a strong home setting so that, you know, you don't creep out and have to get you a burger from McDonald's and stuff like that, because there's always people who are focused on preparing food, and food is available and it's good tasting and it's created in love. So there were sisters, like my sister wife, she helped to set up the first vegetarian restaurant in Cleveland, Ohio. Her name was Imani. And so she was an excellent cook, just excellent. And so I would always go to her. I say, I'll do the prepping, you know. I'll wash the dishes. You just fix this, you know. So I would encourage her skills to develop. And she felt good because she knew I appreciated her in terms of what she was able to do. There was no competition there. I didn't feel threatened because she was good at cooking, better, more refined and better at preparing good foods than I was. I was able to learn from her. There were sisters who were competitive, however, because women, by nature, basically, their competition does not come out of teamwork or team or sports. It's almost like the only child syndrome. You know, the only child comes up, but the only child does not learn how to share, does not learn how to interact with other people. Well, most women have not played team sports, so they don't know how teams work, that I may have an attitude with you or a disposition with you, but for the sake of the team, I got to get rid of that quickly as possible so that we can accomplish what we set out to do as a team. So I find that most women are not acclimated to be team players. And so they get stuck in attitudes, dispositions, and negative attitudes, that is, and dispositions and emotional toxicity, and don't seek ways to get rid of that. And the children, in terms of their education, now you have people who are there who can help educate your child. I remember, during the teenage years with my children, of course, children don't like to confide in their parents what's going on with them, but they would confide in my sister wife what was going on. They would tell Imani everything, and she'd come and tell me. I wouldn't go back and confront them. I'd just put the problems on my prayer list and make sure that I'm not adding to the problem or what have you. So I had somebody who my children loved and who they were confident, and they would give their confidence to even more than me. That could have been a problem. Now, did jealousy come up? Yeah, jealousy came up from time to time. I remember I was jealous at one point. I was so jealous that when I wake up in the morning, all I want to do is go back to sleep because I didn't want to experience the pain of confronting the situation. But I did, and I eventually came out of it. As a result of research, you know, it says ignorance is just not knowing. So if you seek to know, get an understanding of something, you just do the scholarly thing and research it. So as I researched jealousy, I was able to get a handle on it in myself as to why it came from, why it was, and what I needed to get rid of it. And I was able to get rid of it and begin to...
Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break because when we come back, I want to talk about that emotion of jealousy and where it comes from and how to get rid of it and how that impacts relationships today in terms of honesty and dishonesty.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
For those who have joined us on Facebook Live or Tube, feel free to write in your comments. And good morning to Sheila Stamp that's joined us on Facebook. And she has a comment. She says, in every relationship, one loves more than the other. So I chose to marry someone who loves me more, but that's still not a guarantee of a life partner. Well, yeah, that's true because love can change. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Thanks so much, Sheila, for your input. We appreciate you. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Poussin. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Wellbeing with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Thank you. Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with my co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family on this Wednesday morning. And our featured guest co-host is Maika, and she's bringing us some insight as we address part two of the Life Partnership Contract. And we're asking the question, would you allow your spouse multiple partners? This is the particular part of the contract that many people took issue with. But everything in the contract, and we'll go over, you know, all the points again later in the show, but every point in the contract deals with some aspect of building that institution that Maika speaks about, which is the home. So the home is the institution we're building. And in order to build a home, there are a lot of different things that go into it. There's a financial planning aspect of it. There is the responsibilities for home management and all the various responsibilities that need to be shared. There is, once there are children involved, there is the child rearing aspect of it, keeping them safe from harm by teaching them skills, sharing in the responsibility, and ensuring that they receive proper guidance and ethics. So there are things in the contract that address shared responsibilities, but then also they address the issues of parting ways, because as one of our viewers, Sheila, pointed out, nothing guarantees a lifelong partnership. Sometimes people change. Sometimes people choose to go different ways because maybe they've changed religions, changed careers, changed whatever it is that brought the two together. Something might change, and they're no longer feeling like they're walking down the same path. Or maybe one of them has issues that they can't resolve in themselves, an addiction that they can't shake, and maybe their behavior is just too much, and they need some time away from others. And so sometimes that partnership ends. So the purpose of this contract is to really
eliminate the need for us to spend a lot of money on lawyers and a court system that really is not operating in our best interest, but is basically exploiting our conflict and making money off of it. If we can be civil and civilized and choose to part ways with a prearranged agreement on how we're going to do it, then we don't traumatize our children so much, because everything is about the children, the people that we are bringing up and preparing for their future, and in a real sense, the future of planet Earth. So that's the higher purpose. So, of course, we've got issues. And one of the biggest issues that have broken up families is the issue of what we called infidelity. And we've been doing a whole series on cheating on our Monday show. But there are some realities also. Everybody needs a family. Everybody needs love. Children need guidance. They need protection, and they need to see what that male-female relationship looks like. Otherwise, how can they form one? So sometimes the answer is for our family concept, our home, to expand, to include. And this is the hardest thing for, first of all, we're going to deal with women, and then we're going to talk about men later on. But it's hard for women because, and Maika brought up the main issue, which is jealousy. Fear that someone will not love me and will love someone more. That's where that fear comes from. That's the same fear in a family where there's children. And when a mother is pregnant with a second child, and the first child gets angry and starts to act out, or the child is born and the older child, you know, tosses the baby out the crib and all kinds of things. Fear that someone will replace me and take away my love. That's what jealousy is. So, Maika, in your research, what did you discover about jealousy that helped you to remove it from your own heart and even see that much of it was a part of your own inner fears and imagination? What did you discover?
You're right. My mute was on. Yeah, there were projections, you know, fear projections that somebody was getting something that I felt I deserved also, you know, and as a result, I had to come to grips with what do you really need, rather than comparing yourself to what other people are engaged in and what other people are getting. What do you need? And defining that for myself, and then being able to discuss that need with those around me. I think the biggest problem when jealousy arises is the ability to confess, yes, I am jealous. I'm having this problem. Most people cannot bring themselves to say that and to express why they feel that and how it feels. And the thing is, once you can communicate fully your feelings, those feelings want to be recognized. First of all, they want to be recognized. But if you push them to the back, they got to force themselves out in sometimes negative, toxic, and violent ways. But once they're recognized, they can be analyzed and understood. So as I would confess and acknowledge my errors and my jealousy and have communications with people about that, it just disappeared. It was no more. I acknowledged it. I realized it. It was part of my human estate, and I couldn't escape or deny that it existed and that it had come to the forefront. Feelings of insecurity, feelings of low self-esteem, you know, coming. I mean, what you got to realize in today's world that most everybody is coming into any kind of institution or relationship with toxicity from the society, the greatest society. You have problems. Yeah. You're going to have problems as a result of that, because we don't always know how people have been injured, how they were raised, what they saw. Did they have a mother and a father, or did they just have a father in the home, or did they just have a mother in the home? We don't know any of that when we come together as in any relationship, and it It's we have to sift through it as we go along, unknowing anything. We go into the unknown when you enter a relationship with a person. So we had to do that as a community. And we wanted to create a culture. We knew that we had come out of a slave culture, and we wanted to create something different than that. We didn't want to follow the beaten path because it wasn't going anywhere. We didn't see it going anywhere as a result. But we brought with us everything from that culture, the slave culture. And we didn't have things like EFT and other healing modalities at that time, so most of it was communications. We had to talk our way through situations that were confronting us and that were blocking us from moving forward in our institutions. Like there's homework that has to be done. People have to be fed, right? If there's a problem with, say, the sister who's preparing the food, then the food not going to be done. So we have to work through those problems. What's your problem? What happened? You know? And we take the time to do that, to communicate, fully communicate what was going on. Even with the children, we might be having a meeting about another institution. The children come up with a problem. Well, we stop whatever we were doing and have and deal with what the children's problems were. And all of us as a community, as a family, we would work, help the children work those problems through. And as a result, we didn't have to do a lot of corporal punishment and what have you, because communication was available. And children need to see a father. They need to see a male figure. They need, I had a father growing up. I don't know who I'd be if I hadn't had a father. I have a lot of compassion and empathy for those who didn't have a father in the home growing up. And like, and I look out here today, most children don't see a father or a male working, a black man working. They don't have a concept of.
What's her name? I think Alice Toussaint called, she wrote a book called BMW, which meant black man working, and that's what a lot of people don't see.
They don't see that. They see that, and even they don't even see the mothers working. They just see us going to ATMs and getting money out. That's what children see.
Yeah.
Well, there's a missing piece there, because then they think, oh, I just got to go to ATM and get the money out too. They don't see the work that goes into generating the money that goes into the bank to get to the ATM that you're pulling out. And so that's a big thing. Like, I remember seeing my father working on TVs and radios. That was his side hustle. I saw him building stuff and repairing things. And even today, if I'm in a community in a neighborhood and I'm visiting and a black man is working, I go get me a chair just to sit and watch him. Watch him work, because I like seeing that. I saw a guy removing the sod from his mother and putting down new grass for his mother. I was there with him the whole thing because I wanted to see that. This man is working. And out here, I see farmers working. And children need that. They need that view, that visual of a man working. And I think that, yes, polygamous relationships are good in terms of the children being taken care of by multiple adults and protected by multiple adults. But I think that in today's world, there's a need for women to come together to protect black men. They need protection. Everybody is working against them. And we need to have to form coalitions and teams and whatever we got to do to protect them, because they are dwindling away.
Well, you know, when I say protect, I think people need to understand we're not talking about, you know, taking up arms and then being a militia. We're talking about the emotional protection, because that's where they're under attack, under emotional assault. They're under psychological assault. When you can't leave your house worrying about you're going to be publicly humiliated and might even have your life threatened, how can a person live under that kind of constant stress and be normal? So
that's right.
Even when I look at the generation before us and even the generation before them, a very high percentage of men were engaged in alcohol abuse because They were under so much stress.
Under so much stress, right. Everything was a threat to them.
Yes, on the job, every day you might be fired, might be humiliated, you never know. And just trying to deal with that. I mean, some, you know, they would take a drink after work and some would wait till the weekend, but it really, it escalated the instances of alcoholism in our family. Somebody in the family that just was not able to maintain themselves and just crumbled under the alcoholism and was always drunk because they just, life was just too much. They had to constantly self-medicate themselves with alcohol. And this is the kind of thing that when we talk about protecting men, we need to protect their self-esteem from assault, which starts in childhood. And just one statistic I want to talk, I'm sure I mentioned before, 85% of young people in juvenile detention homes come from fatherless homes. So that absence of a father that leads to absence of a lot of things, you know, little things, like having somebody home when you come home from school because your parents can either take turns or at least somebody's going to be there, and having people be able to help you with your homework because somebody can be there instead of, you know, one parent has got to work two jobs and nobody's ever there. So we have so many children that have raised themselves because we don't have, like you said, multiple adults raising them, multiple adults looking after them. We don't have that, and we don't have a structure for that. So I applaud you all for create a culture, because what has to happen, we have to create. We have to create what does not exist, which means expanding our minds, not trying to figure out, well, how was it done 200, 300, 400 years ago? The world has changed. How do we create a culture that addresses the needs of today? And today we have many, many, many children growing up in single parent, often female, sometimes male, headed households. Well, the caregiver, the parent, does not have help or support, and their children end up being raised by the streets that ultimately destroys them. So how do we create a culture that addresses that? And unless we can expand our minds, we're not going to survive what we're seeing happen in the destruction of our homes. So this was the purpose of this life partner contract. And one thing you pointed out, Maika, was that you all thought as a collective. And there were many communities that reformed, you know, in the period of the 70s, the 80s, you know, people were trying to figure out how do we fix the problem? We got to do something else, which means you got to think what is best for the whole. So before we take a break and I take some calls, how, and we've got some calls on the line, and Brother Green, let me know if you got calls on your line. How do we get past the selfishness that says, I don't care about other people. I don't care about this other woman. I don't care about her children. She's better keep them away from me. If not, I'm calling the cops on them. Care about these people. I want my home to be what I want. Other people's problems, not my problem. How do we get past
that? Well, you know, there were a lot of times that happens. You know, women would come in and they would act like they wanted to be a part of the relationship. And we would invite them and allow them in the front door. But when they came in, their whole intent and purpose in coming in was to chase me off. You know, it was like, I'm going to get rid of her. I'm going to replace her. And their intent, and I was really open to women having a husband, a strong husband. And so it would be like a revolving door sometimes, because they would eject themselves just based on their adverse intention. So selfishness was a real problem. Like I said, women don't learn to be team players, and because that comes through sports and activities like that. Most women are really engaged in sports. I was a real athlete coming up, so I knew all about team playing, and I enjoyed working and playing on teams with women. So that was probably one of the benefits for me. I didn't feel threatened by women so much as a result of that.
Yeah.
And the need
really,
was there.
Yes. And I think it's important for women to have experiences that teach them cooperation. Because when you feel valued yourself, say if you're part of a team and, you know, you're the essential, you know, you perform your part and then other people can perform their part. And so the team wins. Well, it's the same thing if you're looking at a home and if everybody's performing their part, whether it's helping with chores, helping with, you know, the business, the selling or the income or the book managing or whatever the case may be. Like you say, you know, if somebody's supposed to be handling the meal that night and they didn't do it or I had a headache, well, that affects everybody. Everybody don't eat. You know, how do we deal with that? Because your part didn't get done, you know, or you're supposed to just clean the toilet. You didn't do that. Okay, now the bathroom is nasty and we're getting diseases and germs and colds and everything. So your part didn't get done. It's affecting the whole. So a person has to see that they are a valued part of the whole. That means a whole mindset of understanding being a part of the collective body.
Let me give you an example of a situation just before you go to break, okay? There was once a sister who joined our family and our community. And so every day we would have, every morning we have what's called a contexting meeting where we took our institutions and we would assess what needed to be done in each institution, and then somebody would either volunteer or be assigned to do that work in the institution. And then we'd ask, well, what's needed? What do they need, a car, money, resources to carry out the assignment that they got? And that's how we start our mornings. And so one morning I was assigned a home task, which was I had to go to the laundromat and wash everybody's clothes in the community. I mean, big laundry loads, you know. And so me and this particular sister, who when she joined, she brought a car into the community. Well, we had a disagreement, and she decided that because of the disagreement that I couldn't use her car, right? Now I can't do the work of the community because she's got an attitude and she was taking away the use of the vehicle that's needed to do the work, right? So I didn't have to discuss that with her. I took that to the community, and they worked it out. You can't punish Maika because you and her have a disagreement. She needs to use a car to do the community's work, and she had to abdicate from her position. Well, just think if you in a family with just a husband and a wife in a situation like that comes up, there's a disagreement, and somebody wants to punish somebody else. How is that resolved? You can't resolve it between two people. There has to be three or more people to help resolve those kind of conflicts, but we don't have it. And so as a result, things spin out of control, attitudes develop and continue to build, and then you have breakups because you can't get past those kind of issues.
Can't get past the impasse. Yeah, that is right. We've got calls on the line we're going to come to when we come back from the break, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. We're coming to you after this message. And we want you all, if you're watching us on Facebook Live or YouTube, The Female Solution, we want you to call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891 and press 1 so that your number lights up. We can open your mic and get your thoughts as we talk about part 2 of the life partnership contract. And we're asking the question, would you allow your spouse multiple partners? It's all about building family. We will be right back after these messages, so we want you to stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, They will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Back, you are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we're along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, and our second Saturday of the month guest co-host Maika, and she is bringing us some insight as we talk about part two of the life partner contract. And ask the question, would you allow your spouse multiple partners? I've got a comment from one of our Facebook viewers, our dear sister Zelda. Zelda speaks, and she says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen to star. Multiple partners may encourage the team to work together instead of tearing each other apart. Sorely needed in community that's really divisive due to greed and programming. Yes, yes. And you know, the example that you gave, Mike, I think that is really critical for us to consider, because many a times when a husband and a wife, when it's just them, and, you know, men might say, well, the man is the head and it's his rule and that's it. Well, you know, come on, brother. Sometimes y'all just be wrong. And if you don't have, if there's an impasse and you don't have another voice, if you don't have an extended family to help in breaking that impasse, what happens? You just split. You can't, and that's why our families are broken, because couples reach an impasse and there is no third voice. There is no community voice. There is no expanded, extended family voice to say, look, this is what should happen, because this is what's better for everybody. And we know that many times we're selfish. So let's go to the phone lines. And if you're on our switchboard and have something to say, feel free to press 1. And if you're on American Muslim 360 switchboard, feel free to press 1. And we're back with our American Muslim 360 family. We're going to go to our caller at 773-221-GRAND-RISING. Thank you. Thank you for listening us. And give us your thoughts about the
a life partnership contract? Do you think spelling out some rules and some behavioral procedures and some responsibilities would help keep our families together and actually keep us together for the extent of our lives?
I contend that we do what we are rather than are what we do. And a wise man recognizes that monogamy is much better than spiritual fornication. And I would just say that I'm going to send you and Sister Maika an email today. It's going to be entitled, the subject is going to be Herbs in Horto, Andrew Nelson Bay's Vision for, quote, Tent Cities in Pandemic Gardens. And it's going to delineate my vision of how to resolve the homelessness crisis in Chicago in my capacity as a candidate for mayor.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Andrew. We'll be looking for that email. And definitely, now, just before we take the next call, I want to ask you, what do you mean by spiritual fornication? What do you mean by that?
Spiritual fornication is a very serious matter. It's a form of witchcraft, really. It's when a man or woman manifests in the presence of their spouse their desire to be with someone else. And that's something that is as serious as actual fornication. And it's something that should not be done at all. I think the Nation of Islam would agree with me on that point.
So, you're talking about lusting after someone in your heart, that kind of, is that like?
I'm saying particularly if it's made manifest in the presence of their spouse. But it really shouldn't be done even in their absence. That's the whole point of it. It shouldn't really even exist. Because what people don't realize from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, I believe, or maybe verse 20, it says, speak no ill of the king, nay, not even in thy bedchamber, lest a winged creature hearing of the matter will go and tell of the thing. That's where tweeting comes from. You see, it's what a person does both in the presence and in the absence of the individual. People don't realize that what they do at a geographical distance is as if they're doing it right in their face. They think that, oh, they're in a different town, they're in a different country, they're in a different terrestrial area on planet Earth, but they're still doing it as if they're right there with them. And so it's something that should not exist at all. And wise people who are like Catholic priests who are exorcists, they understand this. I'm the spiritual alter ego of Father Dr. Malachi Brandon Martin, S.J., who is the world's foremost exorcist and part of the Vatican Intelligence Services. See, this
well,
is
you know,
a
Andrew,
very...
One,
yes.
Well, Andrew, you know, one of the things that has been a subject of discussion are the various levels of relationships, everything from your thoughts about someone, your desire to be in the presence of someone, your desire to be intimate with someone, your conversations with someone, and all of these things are various levels of relationships. And many times relationships start out with a thought. So now I think the difficulty human beings have is with the idea that if I am in a relationship with someone and they have affection for me and love for me and we have built a family together, then they should not develop feelings for anyone else, and especially sexual attraction to anyone else. And I think human beings have more difficulty with their sexuality because it has been so distorted in its teachings and it presented in so many unwholesome ways, like Maika was talking about. When you don't have a wholesome way of expressing sexuality, then it becomes perverted into unhealthy ways, and then it becomes distorted even in its importance in maintaining a family relationship, so that people are taking it out of context. And this is why we're having so many difficulties in keeping our family together. But, you know, I want to address the thing that he kind of alluded to, because many times what people need, even in an emotional need, a companionship, which a lot of people don't have, and sometimes there are conflicts in a family and you can't talk to your spouse and you find yourself talking to someone who will listen, who will empathize, who will make you feel better, and then you develop a closeness and a relationship with that person. Can evolve if the relationship in your household is not providing that kind of an open dialogue and communication and a sense of harmony. So, Maika, for those who fear, you know, as we talk about expanding our families and even allowing multiple partners, for those who fear that if their spouse is angry at them or upset at them, or they may be going through a temporary conflict, what they see is, oh, you all are condoning them, you know, stepping outside of our marriage. Explain the difference between people agreeing to create the institution of a home and work together, and someone who is being dishonest and stepping outside of their home, and as you mentioned, that back door, having someone that they're seeing on the side that they don't acknowledge publicly. What are the differences in that? Because I think that's where people get stuck. They cannot see the difference, and they think it's the same thing.
Well, at one level, the difference is you have energy. When you have the relationship, and it's an open-ended relationship where the man has more than one wife, all energies are directed towards the home and the family. When you have these backdoor relationships and he goes and he's dealing with another woman and she ain't got no relationship to you, the children, the family, that's just lost energy. He's investing energy somewhere where it's not going to come back. It's just like black people going to white communities and spending all their money, but the white folks don't spend no money in the black community. It's the same thing. We don't have a circulation of the energy within that structure. And so, and there's no monitoring of that person's, in other words, that other person's not contributing in any way to the development of the community or the family or the home. They just some side energy that's being, released. And what happens is, Naeem, it's so unfortunate that sex does, and you said this earlier, sex becomes the measuring tool by which people decide whether or not they're going to be together or not, who you have sex with, whether you have sex with. But it's beyond sex. It's so much beyond sex because, again, like you stated, there's so many dynamics that go into building a home, building a family, that people can share those responsibilities. So sex does not have to be a part of all relationships where women are with men, or in a family or in a polygamous situation. It doesn't have to be sexual. It could be supportive. She may just need somebody she wants her children to be around a strong man. So she wants to join this family to provide that for her children. Now, does the other woman get jealous and say, well, he's taking energy away from our children? You know, all that kind of stuff can come up too. You know, but that's when you get into the realm of selfishness. There's within a community. Community means common unity. You come together under a common stance to create unity. And when you come together as a community, energies are directed. They're controlled to bring maximum benefit for the whole, not just individuals. And it's so important. And then we have these idiosyncrasies, you know, our emotions, jealousy, inferiority, insecurity, all those things come up, and they do create, blocks. Like I remember once I was dealing with a woman who was jealous, and I said, did a violation take place? She said, yes. And what's the nature of the violation? There was only a perceived violation. There was not an actual violation. It was in her mind. It wasn't something that actually took place. It was her fears that had come to the forefront. How if he likes her more than me? How if he buys her flowers and he doesn't buy me flowers? How if he takes her out and he doesn't take me out? How if he spends more time with her than he spends with me? I mean, you know, at one level, gratitude comes in where you're just grateful to be in a relationship with a man who is conscious of you, who is conscientious about you and your needs, and then being able to support him in his choices. You know, there's a lot of things that people say shouldn't be, couldn't be, ought not to be. But the reality is all kind of stuff shows up, and you have to be able to deal with it. You have to be able to communicate about it. Most women can't even communicate about the possibility of a man taking on another wife. The communication can't even start because they have an attitude at the beginning of the communication. Like, that's a violation of them. How can a communication be a violation? Oh, I'm offended at the thought. Who's offending you? Just because you're offended don't mean you've been offended, because you think you have the offense. And so when you really get into a development of communities and families, communications is essential, having good listening skills, being able to, you know, the first law of science is to observation. So each person has to be willing to put themselves under observation. You have to observe yourself. You have to self-police yourself. You can't wait for somebody else to come and tell you, you know, you violated or you shouldn't do this. You have to know, you know that within yourself. So just deal with it. Do what's right. And so, you know, it says righteousness exalteth a nation. So it's important for people to come with a righteous attitude into any situation, or it's not going to work. I don't care what it is. It could be a monogamous relationship. It could be a polygamous relationship. But people, if people haven't decided to be righteous and to correct themselves when they find themselves in error and apologize and correct them, then it's not going to work. I don't care what it is. That's just the bottom line on that one.
I agree on that. Definitely, you have to have the right intention. And, you know, last week, one of our callers was you know, concerned that the life partnership contract, he said, well, you know, as a Muslim, it shouldn't contradict the Holy Quran, and, you know, we should make sure that's the first guideline. And one of the things that we pointed out is that even though this deals with modern-day language and modern-day documents that you should have that aren't spelled out in the Holy Quran, like, you know, healthcare power of attorney and, you know, stuff like that, but we spell out what are some specific things that you should do, and, you know, all of your bank statements that you should bring to your, you know, when you first get married so that everybody understands whose assets, you know, belong to who, all those things that we say you should do in a practical sense, spiritual sense, even when it comes to the treatment of the women who are in a multiple wife situation, the command is to provide equal so that one person isn't feeling like, okay, you know, you bought her a flat screen TV, a 50-inch flat screen TV and didn't get one for me, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's kind of funny. I had a friend who, I think he was visiting Saudi Arabia, and he saw a guy outside the TV store, and he had, you know, four big flat-screen TVs out there. And he said, man, you buying four TVs? He said, yeah, well, I got four wives. I'm buying one for one. I got to get all of them on. So, you know, he found that, you know, funny. Like, what? But that was
that was in following the principle, so you don't create jealousy by, mm-hmm. you know, being obvious and you're favoring one over another. So that's just one of the rules that comes with understanding that if you are unequal in treatment, you will create jealousy or resentment and feelings of unfairness. So that's one of the guidelines. And, you know, when we look at what is the purpose of the family, as you said, Mike, it has to do with everyone's goal being we're building this institution of the home. And out of that is what our family develops. And then from there, we can create a community. And it all centers around the best interest of the children. That's what's missing. We have not given the signal to our children that they are the central focus for our decision. And so mm-hmm. we're all, as adults, need to work together for their best interest. And everybody involved is going to be treated with respect. That's what's missing. And so our children are reflecting to us what they have received from us. That's why they're violent. That's why they're disrespectful. That's why they are hurtful. That's why they're bullying each other. That's why they're carjacking. They're stealing. They're doing drugs. They're reflecting to us what we have not given them. A safe and secure home institution in which all people are valued and respected and their best interest is put first. And so this is why we've developed this life partnership contract to establish a relationship among the adults that says we will all come together as family with agreement that can build a strong foundation for our children. And rather than fight over whether or not you should help another person, help their children, or, you know, we're going to fight over who has which spouse, let us include, let's add to the family so that everybody is in a family and we can build a stronger foundation for our community. That's the goal of this. And in terms of what Mom says, that was the goal in Chapter 4, after the war, how do we build families and community? That's the purpose. So, Kareem, you've got a comment or a person on the line that wants to input?
We have someone on the line. I'm going to open up their mic. Air code 312-671. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Well, in Yashalom, you know, die and we multiply. Black is beautiful and black power forever without the violence, without the gun. This is Brother Minister Plump, Robert Floyd Plump, Chicago, Illinois. Yes, we can. I discovered that in my teenage years. And also I discovered what we call a Black Code Village. And this is where we have to get to, my beloved brothers and sisters. See, we all now, everybody's different, but we all are 23s. The Female Solution is a 23 location station for all the brothers and sisters in the nation that is building a common unity. And I cannot disregard or overlook or take for granted what the Honorable Mayor Harold E. Washington said. We must plump the whole community. So we are plumping it up in peace, love, unity, marketing people.
So
I
got a
yes,
question.
Ma'am. Go ahead.
Since you're the second man that called in, and I want to get a thought from you. We've been, and this is the clause in the contract that says husband and wife agree that this contract is a non-exclusive free will agreement for mutual spiritual, emotional, and financial support and the establishment of the bonds of family. husband and wife agree that either partner is free to establish a life partner contract with another individual while this life partner contract remains in force. Now, what that essentially means, and we've been discussing, of course, now a husband who might establish a relationship with someone else and, you know, a life partnership contract and bring them in as part of the family, his family. But we're also giving that option to the wife. And this is where we ended last week when somebody said, oh, no, we got to talk more about this. A lot of men listening can say, oh, yeah, I could see having, you know, multiple wives and all that. Yeah, great. But now we've said we're going to extend that option in this contract for a woman if she feels that she has someone she'd like to bring into the family for whatever, you know, their relationship may be. And it doesn't say it's sexual, but it may be emotional. Maybe whatever the case may be, but the fact of the matter is we're giving her the option. And this is something different, revolutionary, an idea that a woman may have more than one partner in a relationship simultaneously. Now, I know that, you know, there is a, and I'll talk about that, you know, there is a group that has that as their culture. Because in that particular area of the world, there is a shortage of women. And so the women regularly marry more than one man, and they're men from the same family, which is a whole different way of thinking. Now, we're not saying, you know, a woman with they have, you know, a man and his brother and all that. But we're saying, we're giving this same option of a multiple spouses to women in this contract more than men. And that doesn't say it's going to happen. And it doesn't say, even if you sign a life partnership contract, it doesn't say you're going to have multiple spouses. But the clause is there so that the idea is that another relationship is not a reason to break up the family. So that we don't break up our families because another person is attracted to or attracted by our spouse, we're not breaking up our families for that. We're choosing to stay with our families and choosing to add that person rather than have that person be a source of the family breaking apart. We're choosing that in this contract. What is your thought about that? Do you think men should have the same open-mindedness that they're asking women to have when it comes to bringing another partner into the relationship? What is your thought on that?
Thank you very much, beloved. I think 50-50, as they say, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And that means one for one and one for all. And when you think about common unity, you know, in the community, then you thinking in the best interest of God's will, if it's permissible with God, then it should be permissible with the people. It is a way that just like now we consider our team 23. I was listening at you and Sister Maika and the top of the morning to you too, Sister Maika. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
And we love you. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, so now, you know, we're moving into, yes, we can. We can what? Change the world. How can we change the world? Through black code villages, okay? And it do take a village. See, so therefore, I would say 50-50, you know, what's good for one should be good for the other, you know, be it a husband or wife or a wife or husband. You know, when it comes to building the family, that's a need. We have to reconnect, first of all, with God. God's will only, as well as to reconnect with yourself next, and then also reconnect with the community. so therefore we can develop unity in the community. I'm so glad that you all are having this topic, because this is how we can really make a difference in changing, you know, what we call America and the world. Well, the bottom line is we are conditioning our minds to become responsible, or to hold ourselves accountable for the conditions of our own families, our own communities. And we must support our efforts as we exercise change. Change is the one thing in life that's, is for certain. You know, we start out with before we was born, then we come over here and we born and we change, you know, from outside, from inside to outside. And as we grow and grow in knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and truth about self-development, then we have to advance our minds. And it is a mind, our way of life. It is a spiritual way of life as well as it's a physical way of life that we must be civilized. This is why now, y'all heard it from me first, Black Code Villages, okay? So let's get on with the business. Right. And everybody is 23. That's different now. But everybody is on the same level. Different but like Oprah Winfrey. Different but like Michael Jordan. See, everybody different now. See, well, but however, you know, we are in one accord. We are holding now ourselves accountable for what? Our attitudes. Your attitude should at all times be in the family, should be a PMA attitude. You should not come with the negative mental attitude. That is what? Wrong. The wrong is wrong. Right is right. So this is why we are developing, and we have already began with King 23. Together, everyone achieves more. Together is the key word. Everyone achieves merch. Together, everyone achieves money. Together, everyone achieves millions. Together, everyone achieves miracles. All miracles come from God. Every human being, whether they're black, white, red, brown, and yellow, it's a miracle that you're here in this day and time to be alive. And so I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. And I'm a wise man. I'm not no Mr. Know-it-all. And I'm not no Mr. Foolish man.
But I thank you so much for sharing. Your comments have lit up the phone line. So we're going
to
take
Can I speak to that? I'd like to speak to that briefly, that question asked him. I think what I hear you saying is bringing everything to conscious awareness. People do this. Women do this. Women have desires for men outside of the family. Okay, does that remain a secret? Something she has to seek to do, or do we make it conscious so we can make sense out of it and see the validity or the non-validity in that relationship, whatever is going on? That's what's important, that we bring things to consciousness and stop judging them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're right, Naika, and Brother Plump, ain't nobody's judge, so we can move it on from and keep moving on from here. And
right.
It's a new day, a new direction, and, you know, who gets the victory? God gets the victory, and who else? The people, the family,
that's the
community.
That's
why we have to go back to what Harold said.
Yes.
Thank you. We love you. Keep up the good
right
work.
Right back, and open those mics we're going to take your calls, 706-202-773-737, and any other calls on the American Muslim 360 line, and anybody else on our line that has something to say, press one so we can make sure we give you enough time to speak. After this quick break, we want to
After this break, I have some commentary that I would like to share. Inshallah.
All righty.
Thank you.
Yeah, see what you started, Minister Plump. I knew you could do it. All right. Well, we will be right back after this break. So we want you to stay with us.
Mm-hmm. All right. And
taxed out higher than ever. Everyday thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in an area. Jobs are being lost and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
This is Mongolia, and we are not a the only company in the world has created a premium 100% cashmere sweater for just $75.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Back, and we're going to go to our phone lines after we hear from our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And I just want to share this because, you know, we've been talking about building community, and every culture is designed for that. So for those who are wondering about the whole multiple husband thing, well, this article says there are five places where women have more than one husband. It's not unheard of for men to have more than one wife, with many cultural practices and religions of the world even supporting the habit. However, it comes across as unusual to hear of a woman with multiple husbands. Polyandry is a form of polygamy in which a woman takes two or more husbands at the same time. For example, the fraternal polyandry, as practiced among Tibetans in Nepal, parts of China, and parts of northern India, in which two or more brothers are married to the same wife, with the wife having equal access to both of them. And they've gathered five known countries with tribes that practice polyandry, and here they are in Nigeria. Although it's largely uncommon in Nigeria, there are tribes in Nigeria that also allows polyandry. Among the Irigwe of northern Nigeria, women have traditionally acquired
numerous spouses called co-husbands. The Irigwe people of Nigeria practiced a woman having co-husbands until the council voted to outlaw it in 1966. Until then, women moved from house to house, taking on multiple spouses, and the children's paternity was assigned to the husband whose house the woman lived in at the time. And in India, as a country, more than one tribe practiced polyandry. Polyandry is prevalent in parts of North India, in Paharis, in the Jhanzarbar region, while in Kinnar, Himachal, a minority of people justify and practice polyandry. As descendants of the Pachi, five brothers who were husbands to a woman named Draupadi, daughter of King Pachala, they believe they have to carry on the tradition. So, you know, there's just a few. But I said that to say, you know, when we look across the world and we see that people create cultures based on the needs that they have and the conditions that exist, and out of respect, you can't tell someone what they should do because their culture evolved out of their condition. So just like multiple wives, condition where perhaps, you know, lesser men, more needs of women, polyandry developed out of the needs where perhaps there were lesser women and more needs of men. So even as religions, we cannot inflict our views on someone else's culture because their culture evolved out of their historical experience that showed they had a need for them to create something that provided for their family. We had people come to our nations in Africa and decide to dismantle polygamy, which was a workable way that we were handling, making sure all the children were raised in a family, and disrupting that because they decided that their religious belief didn't allow it. But you can't inflict your religious belief on someone else's culture because the culture evolved out of a need, which is what Maika was talking about earlier. You're trying to build the institution of the home and build a family around that institution, and thereupon that build a community. So that's the purpose. So we can expand our minds and understand the purpose, which is building a community. Then we can see that we've got to do something different because what we have now isn't working. That's why our children are 14 years old and carjacking. We messed up somewhere. So what do we have to do to fix it? So I think our co-host is back.
Yes, I am.
Take our call.
Yes. You know, I keep hearing the forcing of religion. We are instructed by Almighty God to say, to you be your way and to me be mine. Let there be no compulsion. Let there be no compulsion toward religion. No compulsion toward religion. In addressing a situation where a woman has more than one husband, then we are setting up the Maury Povich show. You know, you see, yes. You see where there is so much conflict. You are the father. You know, I'm not the father. He's the father. We must look to the interest of the children. Children need to know who their father is. There should be no question in that matter. And Almighty God mentions to us the sacred bonds of blood lineage, the sacred bond of blood ties. So it is I do not find in the Quran any permission for a female to have more than one husband. And following that, there is also in detail division of property left, the inheritance rights among the family and children. You know, when uh, let me share with you what God says out of the Quran. Let those disposing of an estate have the same fear in their minds as they would have for their own if they had left a helpless family behind. Let them fear God and speak words of appropriate comfort. So the idea of adopting another family, male and female, agree along those lines. First off, you must have one of the most strongest emotions that the human being has, and that is love. Love. You must love humanity. You must love the structure of the family. You must love what Almighty God has put in place for us. So taking on the another wife and her children, the community benefits, the family benefits, the children, they benefit. But and between the wives, you know, let's start where we need to start. Let's love one another. It starts right there with loving humanity. You can't do this if you do not love humanity. Almighty God says to us, in order to achieve paradise, you must have faith. You must have faith in what? Faith in Almighty God and in his ordinances. You must have faith. And Almighty God says, you will not have faith unless you practice loving you one another. Loving one another. So that is the requirement for the saving of our families. You know, I suggested last week, and it's not the first time I have suggested this, that if my wife and I, if she was yet living, if we knew of a family that was struggling, a woman by herself struggling to meet the needs of her family, and she has multiple children, then our heart should go out to her. And if we agree to adopt that family, if I had the means, if we agree to adopt that family and provide the necessary sustenance, support for strengthening that family, then I find no problem in doing that, But you must love you one another in order to strengthen our families, in order to strengthen the community and humanity, all of mankind. That's my statement on that, but it must begin with genuine love. One more thing concerning the property of being jealous. You know, we have to be willing to express the excellence that we see in each other. You know, man, I noticed, boy, you are very proficient in whatever that trade is. Tell them. Let them know that you recognize their excellence. Inshallah, ask them to help you with whatever they're excellent in. For all of us, God has shared bountifully between all of us certain attributes that we are excellent in. So the acknowledgement of the excellence coming from out of another human being, that should stop the jealousy. Inshallah. I'll stop right there, my sister. But let us learn to love one another and love humanity and love the structure that Almighty God has given us. I'll stop right there.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you so much, Brother Kareem, for those words of wisdom, because that really is where it comes down to. We must love humanity. But I want to ask right now, because I know that we've got like six people that won't speak, and we've only got a few minutes, and I don't want to rush people through what they have to say, because I feel your hearts, and I know you want to express your thoughts. So we're going to end up in an after show. I know our American Muslim 360 audience is going to have to leave us at 9, because they've got another show. We're going to do an additional 30 minutes to give everybody on the line a chance to speak their piece. But I need to ask Maika if you are able to stay with us another 30 minutes. And I appreciate you're willing to extend your time if you can.
Yes,
so,
I can.
Thank you so much, Maika. I appreciate it. I mean, this is the topic that touches the heart. I realize that. And I'm going to take a call. Just one thought I want to throw out there, you know, Brother Kareem is referring to the Quran, and, you know, it gives guidelines. There are people who say, well, the Christian Bible says you can't do this, so that's their belief. What I just quoted about the different places where they practice polyandry, that's according to their belief. So everybody's going to make adjustments based on what their needs are. And if we have love for humanity, then that has to be the incentive for whatever we choose. And there are places on the earth where there has been considered to be a need for women to have multiple husbands, whatever the situation may be. And it's known even among the, I understand Eskimo is not politically correct anymore, but, you know, Eskimo people, that where the harsh conditions might make it so that, you know, a man may share his wife with another man that's, you know, passing through, or whatever the case may be. That's another whole story in itself. But the idea is that the multiple spouse thing, it's an organized thing. It isn't free-for-all sex. You know, anywhere where there's multiple spouses, there is an organized system of building family and community, which is not what we see on Maury. What we see there is free-for-all sex. So this is different. We're talking about allowing families to form that include people who need to be connected to a family where they are loved. Do we love humanity enough to do that? So let me take a call, and we're taking this order, and just hold on, because we do want to make sure we give everybody a chance. But also keep in mind, we're only going to go another 30 minutes, not another hour. I'm taking this order, 706-202-111-111, 773-960-773-737. And if you're on the line and wish to speak, press one now before the end of the show so that we know that you have something to say. And we're going to go to our caller at 706-202 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts. And for those on American Muslim 360, if you want to continue on and view us, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and type in the Female Solution and join us visually if you want to continue on with this discussion after the 9 o'clock hour. 706-202, go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. And greetings to Maika and my brother. And
greetings.
Brother Kwame Sunhorse in the stolen lands of the Muscogee Creek here in Eatonton, Georgia. Excellent topic. And we are sharing, and I'm hearing the shares of how each one sees the union of man and woman. And the thing that I didn't hear is looking at the nature. There is a universal law, there's a cosmic law, and there's natural law. The natural selection in the world of our animal relatives, our insect relatives, you know, bees have multiple drones that work with her to help her produce the new eggs that she needs. Ants, queens have multiple males that care and take for her. So what we're looking at as humans, we're looking at how does our culture, being the top of the life chain on the planet, how we interact with each other. But we need to first look at how has everything that was created before us interact with each other. I mean, the females are able to select or be selected, and being able to have herds, have prides, have packs. And we look at the animal that has been existing in their cohabitating world for since Creator created them. But we now see that we want to alter or do a culture and say that we select this and we select that. We give it poly this or a different names. But the whole thing is that a life planet, it's a community. This big blue marble is a community. And how do we act on this planet is prevalent to the environments that we live in. And these are part of the evolution that humans have been evolving into. And so what we're doing now in this discussion here is attempting to define how we as people will want to deal with each other in male-female relationships. And each one of us, if we wasn't cut out in a cesarean, made a contract coming out of the woman when she started her contractions to come out and
well,
be
hold that
a
right
human
there,
being.
Baba Kwame, hold that thought right there. I want to, bell us out to our American Muslim 360 family and remind you, if you want to continue on with the after show, we're going to go through our ending play, and then we're going to continue with the after show. And if you want to join us on Facebook or YouTube, you can go and type in the Female Solution and join us. We're going to go through our ending, and hold on, but I'm going to be right back. For those who are listening online, you can join us on Facebook and YouTube on the Female Solution and continue this discussion on the Life Partnership Contract, Part 2. Would you allow your spouse multiple partners? We'll be right back. So hold that thought, Baba Kwame, coming back to you after this.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings. Thank you.
Are we there?
I'm here.
Greetings, Micah.
How are you, Kwame?
I'm very grateful, and thanks for an excellent show.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Yes. So now those who are listening in on still our switchboard, and we thank Maika for her sharing her experience as a sister wife. In the life partner contract, we also, in that clause that allows for adding an additional life partner without ending this contract, which is a way to keep the family together, that is extended to both men and women, which means a woman could have an additional spouse. And our brother Kwame Sunhorse here is kind of giving us a look at seeing this from the point of view of nature and how there are some of the kingdoms of nature where the female has multiple male partners.
Right.
So the idea,
of course, is
to make sure that we keep the family together. That's the purpose, and not just free-for-all sex, because the family isn't about sex. It is about children and family and community building. But it's an emotional situation, especially if a man's thinking about, wait a minute, am I seeing my wife can have another husband? Well, I don't know about that. So let's talk about that. So, Baba Kwame, you were saying.
Right, and I'm focusing on nature because nature in its essence has been reproducing and still exists in its quality, except for now man stepped in and decided to say, I want to domesticate this animal, I want to breed this animal, and they began to alter what was the natural order of the herd, of the packs, of the different species that were already here. And we've turned around and seen the damage that has been done to, now we don't want to buy beef, we don't want to buy certain animals, or we're going to pay top dollar for a dog because we've mixed dogs and we've mixed these breeds and made them special for our specific liking. And this is the same thing you're seeing now with this, what we're talking about now, is that we want specifics. Okay, I want to be able to have multiple, I want a white and I want a black, or whichever way you want to choose it, in being able to have special, specific selections. And the key that I'm hearing is, in the animal kingdom and all the other kingdoms of living beings on the, there is no church. There is no church. But they believe in the Creator, and the Creator is being able to give them and being honored by all living things on the planet, is honoring Creator by following its natural law.
Mm.
And the invasion of man encroaching on his law and genetically modifying what is natural is really something that we have to look at as human beings. As these beings, we are being out of order.
Mm.
That's my take on it.
Wow. Well, thank you, Baba Kwame. And that's something to think about for sure. Well, let me go to caller 111111. Your mic is open. Go right ahead with your comments. And would you allow your spouse multiple partners? And do you think your spouse should allow you multiple partners? And do you think that that could actually strengthen the home and the community? What's your thoughts?
Grand Rises, everybody. Hallelujah, greetings. First of all, you know, I think these titles are getting to be a bit issue because people are human beings. And a man and a woman are men and women. Whether you're married or not, you're going to meet other people who you can highlight and better in your life. It's not limited to just a male and a male or a female or a female. The problem with people is that they don't really realize that, and it's truthful, it's beyond the sexual concept. When, even if you're a married person, say you meet somebody, first of all, if you get with somebody and you have this strong relationship, you're going to make that other person that you're with extremely desirable to other people just because you're making them better when you're with them. when people are better, they draw people in the universe that need their assistance to be better. So at some point in time, it's actually admiration for your mate that they can be helpful to others. There's actually no way around doing that. And I've learned connectivity is what exists in life. That's just the way it goes. People make a mistake of trying to narrow things down a little too much, and that's where they have these problems, because you can't narrow down meeting people. You meet people for various reasons, and they have needs. They have needs for various things, and it can just be a conversation. It can be, as a matter of fact, what I find most often in meeting strangers is that they have such a disconnect with their family and their friends that they don't have anybody that they can go to talk to or ask questions or to even help them. So when you're a stranger and you're listening to someone and then you step up to the plate and assist them so that they can be a better person, and then they move up, get trained and are blessed, that's a blessing for both people. Too often, we keep thinking of our world as a monolithic. It's not that way. If I'm successful, I must pass on my talents and gifts to other people. I can't stand on a mountain and say, look how great I am and look at how much money I got. That's what's wrong with society. If the people that were wealthy gave the money to the people that needed it, there wouldn't be any inconsistency. The people that don't necessarily have the money have lots of talent. If we draw from each other, then we can get there. And lastly, it just takes unity. I say it over and over. If you take 100 brothers or 100 sisters, and we just put $100 on the table every week, you know we would have $1 million in 12 months or 14 months. Just those 200 people. And imagine the talents and gifts of 200 people when they join. So in society, they are distinctively separated black people, and we keep that trap going, separating ourselves from each other. But in the end, in the long run, the children suffer, and we need community. We need generational wealth spiritually, mentally, and physically. We need to join each other. Everybody needs each other. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Well, I thank you, brother. We appreciate that so very much. And that is the challenge that we have. And for those who are on our switchboard, press 1 if you've got something to say. And we're going to certainly open your mics and give you an opportunity to speak. And I think what you said is so critical when we talk about the necessity to build economic community. And that's really, that's the whole purpose of this conversation about the life partner contract. Is the whole purpose is to build community, which means to build an economic base that our children can inherit. We don't have that. That's why we're seeing so much crime and violence and poverty. We're not seeing the cohesion and the cooperation, and we're kind of obsessing about sexual relations as if that is everything, and that is such a minimal part of building community. But we get stuck there. And what about the economics? What about teaching children skills? What about sharing the responsibilities for building and upkeeping our homes? What about developing businesses that we all interact with and are a part of? That's all part of building family and community. So if there's attractions that people have for each other, do we demonize that? Or do we categorize it differently, especially if we're all brothers and sisters? And if there is attraction, which is natural, do we make it something dirty and low, or do we acknowledge that it's from the heart, from the spirit, as Baba Kwame speaks of? Do we raise the level of our consciousness so that what we are doing is from the spirit, from love, as Brother Kareem mentioned? if love is the basis for all that we do, then can we define those relationships as love relationships, not sex relationships where we're just using someone's body without concern for their well-being, but love relationships where we are becoming family and extending our love to serve a community? Are we able to see things in that light? Or are we stuck on worrying about who's having sex, which is another kind of intimate bond, for which is great if it's for the right reasons? So let me go back to the phone lines. And, of course, we're encouraging those of us, those who are watching us on Facebook, to write in their comments. We will gladly share your comments with our listening audience who is not watching and our viewing audience who is seeing. So let me go back to our phone lines and go to area code 773-737 Grand Rising. Give us your thoughts.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers. Way O-N Yah Shalom. Grand Rising. I'm Mama D. Love, a Nubian. I'll be brief. I have a question.
Yes,
my
ma'am.
Faith teaches that marriage was instituted by God and that the two become one, forsaking all others, including mothers and fathers. And it's not limited to sex, but without sexual consummation, the marriage can be annulled. God is jealous, meaning He is protective of that which He loves. My question, on Savior's Day in February, Minister Louis Farrakhan said, quote, if you have more than one wife, you have one wife too many, unquote. Considering that, how do you think that he would, considering that, would he be supportive of the life partnership contract? Why or why not?
Well, thank you, Mama D, for that question. I think that is a very profound question. And it brings to mind what many families are struggling with, especially when they come from countries where they may have several wives and they wish to immigrate to America. And when this happens, and then they're told, well, you can only declare one of your wives to be your legal wife, and the other ones, they can't be your wife. So this, in a real sense, is asking other people to violate their agreement with God, you know, according to what their community, culture, and spiritual teachings allow. It's asking people to ignore their commitment to God and their spouses and conform to someone else's decision, which is unfair and unjust. So this is one of the things that we're learning in the human family. There are many different ways people are living and adjusting to their circumstances for the purpose of loving each other, building a home, which Maika said, of course, that's an institution that is the foundation for the community. So if other people's ways are different and we're all trying to interact as a global family, that means we have to have respect for other people's ways that work for them and not disrupt their ways, trying to impose our ways on them and make them conform. And, you know, only our concept is right, and so you have to do as we do. And so this means us growing in our understanding, because if a family structure is working for people who know that they need to include people in a community so that everyone's needs are met, and then they come to another country that says, we're not going to allow you to do that. You can't respect this woman as your wife, even though in your country you have made vows to God and the community and acknowledged her as your wife, but in our country we're going to say you can't do that. This is what many are going through as they immigrate you know, from Ghana, Nigeria, Senegal, and other places where they may have multiple spouses. So is that right? And, of course, the answer to that, if we're making decisions based on love, no, it's a violation of other people. So this is, so in answer to your question, if we're going to say we respect other people and their ways and their cults and their belief in God, then we have to respect it, allow it, and not interfere with it, especially if it's not hurting us, which someone else's family really isn't. Now, the difficulties that we face is when we are in a culture where people aren't agreeing what the rules are. So each community has to agree. And if you're in a community and you don't agree, then you say, well, I can't agree with what this community is doing. Let me find another one that fits where I'm at and what I agree to. And that's really the answer. Go to where the people agree with you and move away from the people who don't agree with you, because everybody's going to work out how to do things according to what works for them. Like I was sharing last week in the religious community that I'm a part of, and it's a global community. People have all different kinds of cultures. And a particular culture, many people who are from Pakistan, they believe in arranged marriages, which means you don't really get to know each other before marriage, make sure there's no sexual, you know, contact. So sometimes a husband and wife might not meet each other until their wedding night, or they might know of each other, but they didn't develop any kind of bond. So they're expected to bond after they marry. Now, that worked for them. You know, however it worked for them. They were used to that. That was the culture. So African Americans tried to adopt that, and it was a disaster. Because there's so many things that you need to know about a person that you're marrying. And so in our culture, because, you know, we didn't grow up together in close-knit families and you know, had family members, some of them had different kinds of traumas and issues. So trying to marry somebody that you didn't know, well, that didn't work. And people, you know, all the couples that tried it got divorced. So what we learned was that you can't ape another people. But you also can't tell them, well, y'all can't do that, because if that's working for them, then let them do that. But do what works for you. So that's what we got to be. As a human family, let everybody do what works for them, because the whole purpose is working. Now, my question is, what we're doing right now in this nation, with all our families broken apart and everybody's saying, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, and our children run wild, is that working for us? And the answer to that is no. So that means we got to create something else. We have to create something else. What Maika was talking about is their community was seeking to create something that addressed our needs as a people, because we didn't have that and we still don't have that. So what can we create that can work and help our children, protect our children? As you say, if you love something, you protect it. What can we create that will show love and protection for our children? So, Maika, do you want to respond to some of the statements that we heard?
Well, in terms of respecting each other, I think each individual has to be honest about what they perceive their needs are and be able to verbalize and, you know, dialogue about that before they move on them primarily. And that's what I find that people don't do in a regular way. They just do things. But there's never a discussion. So a bigger picture can be formed around what they're talking about doing. Sometimes you can have energies that can be released through dialogue. It doesn't have to be released through, say, like sexual intercourse with somebody. You know, a woman could say to a man who's married, you know, I'm really attracted to you, and I wish I had a husband like you. I'm looking for a man with similar qualities than you, but I'm not interested in joining your relationship. Well, that's an open, honest discussion. Now, here's a man that understands what she's needing. He can get out there and help to look for her with her, and also his wife, things like that. But dialogue covers a lot of transgressions. We don't do it enough. Our attitudes, which is the only thing that we can really own, is our attitude towards them does not allow us the freedom and the esprit de corps to discuss everything and anything as adults. Because as adults, that's what makes us adults, the ability to be able to express, not hide, not be in fear, have the courage to say what's on your mind, and then to receive the feedback from that. But the do's and the don'ts even lock out discussion. Then you have a problem. And I was sitting here thinking, is the fact that America does not allow, does not reinforce polygamous or polygamous relationship the cause of so much homosexuality with all the diseases that come as a result of homosexuality and perversions? I don't know. It's just a question that came to my mind. People aren't able to express themselves, but then they develop perverse ways of interacting with each other, seeking pleasure, because that's what it becomes. This whole lust culture is based on people seeking pleasure, just like they take drugs and alcohol as a sedative. People use sex as a sedative too. So I would ask the sister who is seeking more than one wife, more than one husband, why do you feel you need that? What is the need in that for you? You know, are you doing it because the man has more than one wife and you are competing with him? Or do you have a real need? And can that need be fulfilled in other ways? You know, you have to raise questions, you know, when you have situations that go outside of the norm.
Well, you know, one of the things in looking at those cultures where that has been permissible and allowed, it was in the context of family. It was in the context of community. And even as we look at the multiple wife situation, not every woman who's brought into a family might be a sexual partner. You know, it right. might be somebody who, for physical reasons, is not even able to engage in sexual intimacy. But they need mm-hmm. they need affection. They need love. They need a place to stay. They need food. They need comfort. So there are various levels of relationships. And even in the polyandry situation, because it was in the context of that community and their needs and what they created in terms of a structure might not be understood by people on the outside, but if it's understood by the people on the inside and it works for them, then that means people on the outside can't attack it as wrong because it solves the need that that community has, whatever it might be, where there might be. And these kind of things happen when there is an imbalance in the population of male and female. And like you mentioned, perversions, when things aren't allowed to happen in a way that is healthy, then desires such as one's sexual drive can end up turned to a way that is unhealthy. Now, there's nothing that makes sexual intimacy something wrong or sinful, but we know that in the Catholic Church and other orders where they decide to live a life of celibacy, that's a choice that they make. But in choosing no sexual expression, which is a natural, healthy thing, we've now found a lot of pedophilia, which is unhealthy, unnatural, and harmful, making children the object of one's seeking sexual pleasure, which is not the same thing as an intimate relationship between adults, you know. And so when you take something away that is natural, as you said, it can get perverted to the unnatural and the harmful. So whatever a community comes up with to allow people to express all the ways that people need to have relationships with each other, that's for the health and well-being of the community. So now we know we've got right now, even among our young childbearing population in America, we know we're going to have a whole lot of females that are not going to see emotionally and physically healthy males of marriage quality of their age group because of what has happened with the drugs, the crime, the killing, you know, all these excessive killings. How is that going to manifest for our community? A whole lot of young women with no men. How are we expecting them to form families with children who can see a healthy male-female relationship unless we lay the groundwork for there to be a way to address that reality that exists right now for women who are childbearing age? That's a reality. So this is why we got to have this discussion. Now, for those who say, well, it's not fair if you're going to allow men to have more than one wife, can you allow women to have more than one husband? Yeah, this contract does allow that, but that doesn't mean you have to do it, especially if the reason for you doing it is not the reason for people forming families, which is to bond and, as you said, build a household. So it's a conversation you have to have, though. So I think, Baba Kwame, you had another comment you wanted to make on that?
Yes, I wanted to address a part that we're, and I've been waiting to see if it was going to be addressed. We, like you're saying, people come in from different continents and different cultures, and they're bringing their culture because that land is where their people have established themselves and their belief system and their interaction as male and female. When you come and invade another land and take it and restructure it and make the laws to say what you want it to be, and then you obtain wealth from the pain and suffering of other people, but you establish yourself as the law of this land, then you challenge those that are here on this land that was here before they came to this land, that you now change the whole environment of this land to suit what you all as a people want to see be for people to interact in marrying one person, and you can only have this, and you only can be in this part of the country. And these are the things that challenge to create this environment that we're talking about trying to establish relationship in when we don't control any of the situations of nature that we live on. And that's really key to formulate a community of where you are the steward of the land or the steward of the community in which you're wanting your people to live in. Then you can establish how you want to guideline. But if you're in a community and environment that you are banned, that's all urban stands for, you are banned from nature, then you are out of order. And you will not get order until you get yourself in order in the natural way of order. So we can sit here and contract and talk about these things of what we would like to do. But if we don't have space and resources to establish this, then we're just chattering to me.
Well, I'm glad
I
want
to respond to that.
Yeah, go right ahead.
When you were talking, Brother Kwame, you reminded me of what happened in Africa as the European colonists moved into Africa and found African men having more than one wife, and they brought their religion, Christianity, and Christianity said you can only have one wife. So now you got to divorce the rest of them. And what that caused was chaos because within their culture, a woman was either under her father, her husband, or her brother, I think. And so now these women didn't have a male who was in their societal structure, and they turned out to be the prostitutes for the Europeans. So they totally disrupted a cultural milieu and created what they wanted to do, and we've had fallout from that ever since. That was the inputting of Christianity, and then Christianity
also.
Hmm?
the natives here. The same thing
yeah,
with the invasion.
Right.
And the invasion here.
Right.
And then you talk about the pedophilia is because you take the children away and you put them into to educational systems to destroy their culture and their being who they were born into a culture. You destroy that by abuse and take away all the things that were they were born to. You now abuse that and then misuse them and then watch them grow up into abused, misused, and hurt people.
That's right.
Well, that's very significant that you mentioned the prostitution, because the whole, well, one of the major reasons for allowing the multiple wives in Islam was to prevent the prostitution, which is what tends to happen if you have a lot of women, no way to support themselves, no families they're connected to. Well, you know, what do you sell? You sell what you got. You sell your body. So that was why even having secret lovers was outlawed. You know, every woman, if you're involved with her, she should be in your family as your respected wife. It was to remove the disrespectful relationships, the exploitive relationships such as prostitution, and it was also to protect the children because men were being commanded to protect the orphans. Orphans are usually ones who end up trafficked, you know, child trafficking, child prostitution, pedophilia. So the whole allowing of this in that particular religion was to prevent the abuses of other human beings. That was the purpose. So as you said, you've got the Christian belief system that came in for those who were culturally practicing multiple wives, and that, you know, even evolves out of, like you say, you have women who either you're under the protection of your father, your husband, or your brother, but if you're not connected to any male, then you could end up being abused, and what happened, they end up, you know, prostituted, misused.
Right, but that's...
So what are we going to do in those situations? And only women, I mean, Baba Kwame, you say, well, you know, we don't have the power. We do. We actually have... When it comes to your personal relationships and the culture that you want to create, we have all the power to do that, because the way we create the power is to agree that we're going to do something. And if we create an agreement that we agree to honor, then we've taken the power to do the thing that we say we want to do. So what are we going to do with the power that we have to create environment and a culture and a way of life that protects our children and extends the ability to everybody to be part of a family? How are we going to do that?
We first have to understand that there's a saying that says a man will play with a woman that doesn't know her power. A man marries a woman that knows her power. First, we have to be able to give those ones that are male, female, the understanding of their all the power is within you. And in that part of having that, then you can produce and protect those children, because when you damage children, you damage the community. This is why it was sacred that you had both male and female uncles and aunts, grandmothers and grandfathers, because we have to guide them in what it is that they're to come on this planet to do. And we give them the tools to build that which is in them, that is in the genetic DNA, the mitochondria, that has to be reawakened and reactivated. And these are the things that we as a people are now seeking to empower ourselves. And understand that economics, the basis of all economics, is what we stand on is land. Economics cannot exist without land.
Well, certainly if you bond together, you can buy land, you can build on land, you can grow on land. I mean, that's part of what the community that Maika was a part of was doing as a part of the vision that they had, you know, developing a farming community, developing a community where people had various skills and everybody was a part of the process of sharing their skills and contributing their time, their energy. That was the whole purpose of building that community. The only thing that disrupts a plan that people have is their own emotions. When somebody gets angry, like Maika was telling the story of the sister that got mad and said, well, you can't use my car, even though the community needs her to use the car to go and do the laundry for the community. So unless people think collectively, unless we all choose to think collectively, we cannot solve our problem. We'll keep standing here blaming everybody else and blaming white people and everything else, and we'll stay stuck right here. Now, we got a generation coming up, and everything has been taken from them. They have been cast into cast into the water and expected to keep dry. This is a generation that has seen the worst treatment. They've been humiliated daily by police, threatened, had their lives threatened, seen their families thrown out in the street, homeless, and they've been made to feel like there is no protection for them. There is nobody is bonding together to make sure that their needs are met, they're fed, they're clothed, they're housed, they're educated. They're feeling like we abandoned them. And so there are many of them, and a lot of them have had to raise themselves, fending for themselves. That's why they've become.
And
they've
what
become,
I'm sharing.
So how do we fix that? How do we create something
that's what I want to speak to, because last week I just came back from Commerce, Texas. This sister owns 40 acres. She did have 80. She sold 40 of it. The part of it was is that we brought 20 people down there, two young brothers that I have students that are learning how to do Native American ceremonies came there with me. And to be there and to show them how to create the Native American church and to do the sweat lodge, and then to have women to share it, and a brother who has studied the medicines in which we're using ayahuasca, and to study that medicine and seeing how we can use that to reconnect the person to that person. And so we did a ceremony for 5 days there. And in that actuality and seeing the transformation of people coming from all over the country, even from Ecuador, coming there and uniting and bonding and going on the land and getting the foods from the land and being able to be in oneness on nature, sleeping outside under the stars and in the energy of nature, made a transformational difference for each one of those persons. Even it was multicultural. And so even for those that are aberrant children, they were transformed by the spiritual connection that was given to them. There is ways, and I'm leaving Friday to go up to an initiation and graduation for women that have been repaired, that is going to be put back into the community with a structure of who they are. And so these are the oases that we have to create, the spaces to be able to do this. And this is what I, as an elder, go diligently and attempt to pass on to the next generation and the students that are willing to say, I want to learn what you can teach me to help this spiritual journey. These are the ways that we empower ourselves. And the majority of the people who were there were women. It was six brothers. And 13 women. So the part of that energy exchange, there was no lusting and all of this other stuff. It's because we understand the spiritual energy exchange. It's not about the body. It's about the spirit. And this is the battle that we are fighting. We're so hung up on this physical we need to look at how our spiritual union is. That energy exchange that we have in spirit is the most powerful tool that we can do battle with.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I think that when we think in terms of building bonds of family and community, if the foundation is spiritual, if the purpose is spiritual, then we can be successful. But that means we have to get past our obsession about whether or not somebody's going to have sex with somebody. And let's think about, what are we building for our children? What are we building for the young adults who are going to be creating the society that we live in as elders? And how are we going to repair the damage that has been done to our families and communities so that we can rebuild healthy families and communities that are interactive and are respecting all life? That is our challenge. So we thank all of you all for staying with us, those who have listened in and those who have joined us on Facebook Live and YouTube. And thank you, Maika, for sharing your wisdom and your experience. Thank you, Baba Kwame, and thank you, Mama D, and Obadiah, and Minister Plump, and Brother Andrew, and of course, thank you to my co-host, Kareem Hamid, for always sharing such wisdom, and thanks to our American Muslim 360 family. We thank all of you. This is our task, to rebuild our families, rebuild our communities, and it is in our hands, and we do have the power to do it. But we have to have enough love in our hearts for our fellow beings so that we are able to share our love, share our time, share our finances, share our talents. When we can do this, then we can create what we need for a better society. Maika, you got the last word? Last thing you'd like to leave with our listening and viewing audience?
Well, I wasn't expected to have a last word, but I'm thinking that we have to open up more dialogue and communication, and I think it would allow us to release energies that are bottled up in our energy that we seek to express sexually and through violence. Communications is a channel for energy expression, and we need more of it in the African-American community. As we examine our lives, our personal problems, and the problems that we're confronted with. And I think that's a great solution at this point. Dialogue.
All right. Well, let's keep on talking about it. Thank you so much, Maika. We appreciate you so much. And we'll see you next second Wednesday of the month. And we'll see all of you all tomorrow on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Tune on in tomorrow here on the Female Solution Radio and on the Soulful Solutions Facebook page with Dr. Debbie Green. Until tomorrow, continue to shine your light.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.